This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah wahda, wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da. Ala man la nabiyya ba'da, wa la ummata ba'da ummatihi, wa la kitaba ba'da kitabi, wa la shari'ata ba'da shari'ati. Amma ba'du fa'u minnahi min ash-shaytani rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. يا أيها الرسل كلوا من الطيبات وعملوا صالحا صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected ulama, elders and brothers, we are all aware that Allah Ta'ala has given us and Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with the deen that is comprehensive. It covers every aspect of our life. Together with covering and emphasizing ibadat, salat, zikr, hajj, fasting in Ramadan, one important aspect of deen that I would like to concentrate on in today's khutbah is the importance of adherence of the commands of Allah Ta'ala in financial matters, in monetary matters. Many a times you and I, we make the dichotomy, we make the distinction that while we are in a masjid is part of deen, when we are in our businesses, it's got nothing to do with deen. But that is not the case. Islam gives us very specific guidelines on financial matters, on monetary matters, on trade, and everything to do with financial matters. It might come as a surprise to many that the longest verse in the Holy Quran is to do with financial matters. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu idha tadayantum bidaynin ila ajalin musamman faktubu. Oh people, when you give someone a loan, then have two witnesses to it and write it down. Can you imagine such a practical command of Allah Ta'ala? And many a times we don't do it, and of course we see the types of disputes that come about because of this particular matter not being adhered to. While we study deen in our madaris, there's a very important book of fiqh, jurisprudence known as Hidayah. Now Hidayah has four volumes, but so the ulama would be able to understand this. Only the first volume is to do with ibadat. Only the first volume is to do with ibadat. The three volumes is to do with our social and other interaction with human beings. The third volume, which is perhaps the most important or the most difficult one, is only dealing with business transactions. The entire volume, one volume is with all our ibadat, salat, zakat, hajj, and fasting. The entire volume deals with them. The third volume only deals with financial transactions. But yet for us, financial transaction, we don't even regard it as part of deen. Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi was once asked, he said, why don't you write a book on zuhud, on piety? So Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi, he replied and he said, I wrote a book on correct financial transactions. Whoever adheres to it, he will become pious. It is easy to become pious here in the masjid with a degree of humility, and I'm sitting nicely like a Sufi. Show the adherence of Allah's command in your business when there is temptations to be dishonest and earn a great amount of profit. Show your adherence there. That is the test of a person's character, the test of a person's deen. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran has made mention of an entire tribe that Allah destroyed because of dishonesty in business dealings. وَإِلَىٰ مَدْيَنَ أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ وَلَا تَنْقُصُوا الْمِقْيَالَ وَالْمِيزَانَ. To the city of Madian, we sent Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam. He told them, first thing, Tawheed. Then he told them, don't deal with one another dishonestly in your personal dealings. Do you know what reply they gave? The reply they gave is a reply that many a times you and I might not be articulating it on our tongue, but we have it in our minds. Ya Shu'ayb, أسلاتك تأمرك أن نترك ما يعبد آباؤنا أو أن نفعل في أموالنا ما نشاء. The second point is germane to the topic. He said, "O Shuaib, does your deen teach us what we must do with our money? Does your Allah tell us what we must do with our money?" Ya Allah. Today you and I, we say the same thing. By business, we do it according to where we make more profit, according to the trends. Don't tell us about business. Tell us how to read namaz, we'll accept. That is the view of a destroyed nation. That is the view of a destroyed nation. We will do with our wealth how we feel. Respected brothers, we have a command of Allah how to earn, how to spend, what is permitted, what is not permitted. You and I have to also understand that Islam, we all know that the material world that you and I are living in is something that we hear always people and ulama and sometimes emphasizing the negative aspects. And the Quran has warned us, don't get so involved in this material world that you forget Allah. That know that this material world is amusement and play. It is not your objective of life. Allah Ta'ala tells us, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tulhikum amwalukum wa la awladukum an dhikrillah. O believers, don't let your wealth divert you from remembering Allah. We know the harms, but we don't look at the benefits. Allah didn't tell us that we must stay away from this material world. You see, therefore you find that in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala tells us, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا. Oh Allah, give us good in this world, give us good in the hereafter. We want good in this world. There were those people that they stayed away completely from this material world because of their piety. Otherwise, the majority of us, you and I, we want good in this world and we want good in the hereafter. Mawlana Thani Rahmatullah Ali in Hayatul Muslimin has written, a time will come that everything will revolve around wealth. And then he makes the appeal. Don't ask Allah Ta'ala to stay away. Stay. Ask Allah that you want the good and adhere to the commands of Allah Ta'ala with regard to financial matters. So you earn also correctly and you get barakah and your deen and your needs are also met. The fact that our wealth is a means of fulfilling our needs, Allah has mentioned it in the Quran, in Surah Nisa, the first ruku. وَأَمْوَالَكُمُ الَّتِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا. Allah has made the wealth the means of your qiyam, the means of your existence. So we want the material world, but we want it correctly. In Hayatul Sahaba, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu one day mentioned his name, someone made dua and in front of Umar. And what dua he made? Oh Allah, save me from the world. Oh Allah, save me from the world. So Umar radiallahu anhu asked him, what dua are you making? He said, Allah must save me. He said, you don't want children? He said, I want. He said, you don't want halal risk? He said, I want. So he said, why are you making dua, Allah save me from wealth? Make dua, oh Allah, give us the good of this wealth. Give us halal of this world. Don't ask Allah, I don't want it. We want it. But we want it in the correct manner. We want barakah in it and we want it in the correct manner. So this is an important point that we know we want it. Then we know that the importance of it, that there is fight. I made mention of a nation that was destroyed because of dishonesty. And I made mention that the longest verse in the Quran is about financial matters. Now out of financial matters, one of the most important thing is trade. Now trade is one of the most important aspects that governs financial matters. I not say everything is to do with trade, but many people will be working. Many people will be employees. Just a few weeks back, I spoke about the rights of employers and employees. What is the right of the employers by the employee and vice versa? I gave a whole to Jumma back. So there is also an aspect of financial matters to do with employment. But there is also no doubt that according to one narration, 90% of sustenance Allah kept in trade. 90% of sustenance Allah kept in trade. Therefore, the businessman and a Muslim businessman has a very important role to play. Allah Ta'ala, therefore Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the honest trader will be the company of the Ambiya Musallatu Wasallam on the day of Qiyamah. You and I, we don't believe in the dichotomy. We don't believe that, you know, we are Dindar or we want Islam in the masjid and outside, we don't. The entire life of ours is Deen. Allama Iqbal said, Ye khaki apne fitrat mein na noori hai na nari. That this whole particular, you know, human being is not an angel, neither is he a completion. He's an amalgamation of material and spiritual needs. He needs spirituality and he needs material needs. So you and I, we have to fulfill both those. And out of that, tijarat is an important point. 90% of risk is in tijarat. 90% of risk is in trade. And I will come to that also furthermore, that there is a worrying trend that people, our community was always known to be people who were traders. People are moving away from trade. And you are moving away from that which Allah Ta'ala has kept majority of sustenance in. In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala has made mention of people who travel for trade together with those who travel in the path of Almighty Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. وَآخَرُونَ يَدْرِبُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَبْتَغُونَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. Those who travel to seek Allah's risk. وَآخَرُونَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And those who travel for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Allah makes mention of them together. Now we all know that together with trade and with wealth comes a very great responsibility. Brothers, this is an important point to remember. That when Allah gives certain people wealth, a certain degree of influence they carry. Whether we like it or not, sometimes it's correct, sometimes it's not correct, sometimes they use the influence more than what they're supposed to do, all on its place. But there is a certain influence that comes with wealth. And therefore Allah in the Quran in Surah Al-Isra has made mention of this. وَإِذَا أَرَدْنَا أَن نُهْلِكَ قَرْيَةً أَمَرْنَا مُتْرَفِيًا. When Allah wants to destroy a nation, the first sign of the destruction of the nation is the wealthy people become disobedient. When wealthy people whom Allah gave wealth, they become disobedient. Allah says, I gave you wealth and I gave it to you. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Spend from what I gave you. Give sadaqah and charity from what I gave you. It's at the height of selfishness, I give you something, and then instead of you utilizing it correctly, you use it to disobey Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala says the first sign of the corruption of a nation is the wealthy become disobedient. Allah in the Quran, in Surah Rum, has made mention of four qualities which is required of a Muslim businessman. وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ دَارَ الْآخِرَةِ. Seek akhirah through the means of your wealth. I wonder if anyone ever thinks that I'm supposed to gain Jannah by my wealth. I'm supposed to gain Jannah and the akhirah through my wealth. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Don't forget your share of this world. By all means Allah gave you, have a comfortable car. Have a comfortable home. Don't forget your share. وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. Be good to others the way Allah has been good to you. Amen. Allah gave you wealth, when use that wealth to help other people. وَلَا تَبْغِ الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Don't make corruption with your wealth. Four things. Will you remember it, inshallah? Seek akhirat with your wealth. Don't forget your share. Do good to others the way Allah has been good to you. Don't do corruption with your wealth. So this is something that, and I always tell people, you see here brothers, when we do have a certain degree of wealth, you know, there's a certain degree of ease that comes. There's a certain degree of, you know, a situation where you find ease. Someone who's wealthy, when he goes and travels, he will travel business class. Right? Or for example, because he travels frequently, he will have the card of one of the airlines, frequent flyer card. So because of that, you go into the queue, you don't have a queue. The people who go economy, they have a long queue. Those who have business class, those who have got frequent, they got a gold card, they got a silver, no queue. In the year after, the very same thing will be reversed. You got money, stay in the queue. You got no money, go to Jannah. The better is going to be reversed on the day of Qiyamah. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said the poor will go 500 years before they reach in Jannah. So here there is no queue for you. Here there is a bigger queue. This is the reality. So with wealth, you have certain privileges, but comes with a great amount of responsibility. Now brothers, we can talk about financial matters. I just want to make mention of a few points. I just use my own discretion to talk about certain important things. Firstly, the important thing, there must be clarity in your financial matters. I can't understand why people don't have, even if you are part of a business in which you and brothers are, for example, the father leaves the business, the brothers become son, there must be a situation of an individual identity in a collective enterprise. Let me repeat this. There must be an individual identity in a collective enterprise. You are in a business. You are a partner. What is your worth as an individual person? Are you a worker? Are you an employee? Because you are a part and you are a son, do you get preferential treatment? Are you a person who is a partner? On what basis are you a partner? What is the percentage of your partnership? It has to be clarified. It's an important part. Our fix says any transaction which leads to confusion, which is not clear, that transaction is not permissible in Islam. I'll give an example. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, his son Mufti Taqi Sahib writes, my father had a big sitting room. And in that sitting room, anyone brought something from the kitchen, from our family, and left it in that room, he used to get angry. So the sons one day said, why are you getting angry? He said, me and your mother have got an agreement. Whatever is in this room is mine. Whatever is in the other part of the house is hers. An individual identity, even in a thing like marriage. What is in here is mine, what is in the other, in the kitchen is hers. Can you imagine? We have no clarity in our financial matters. Secondly, I can't overemphasize the aspect of honesty. Everything in business depends upon trust. Trust only comes if there is honesty. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Alaykum bis-sidq. Be honest, فَإِنَّ السِّلْقَ يَحْدِي إِلَى الْبِرْ وَإِنَّ الْبِرْ يَحْدِي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Honesty leads towards righteousness, which leads towards Jannah. And stay away from lying. Lying leads to evil. Evil leads towards Jahannam. Ulama have written, why did Nabi Sallam say, honesty leads to righteousness and then to Jannah? Because if you are honest, it leads to many other great things. This honesty leads to great amount of harm. When you are just honest, and when dishonesty becomes prevalent in the community, the matters of the community and trade and business becomes confused. Because business requires trust. And if there is no trust, how do you do business? So brothers, be very, very careful with regard to honesty. Honesty. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one sahabi came, Safwan bin Surayb, Ayakun al-Mu'minu Jabalan Ya Rasulullah, can a believer be a coward? Yes, he can be. It's not good to be a coward, but it's possible. A person is a Muslim, he's a human being, a mu'min is a human being, he can have the strength. Ayakun al-Mu'minu, can a person be a miser? Yes, he can be. Ayakun al-Mu'minu Kadaban Ya Rasulullah, can a mu'min be a liar? La. He can't be a liar. He can have other weaknesses. He can never ever have dishonesty. Second thing, be very, very honest with regard to it. Then Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Don't devour and eat the wealth of someone falsely. This is the cornerstone of our Islamic commands about financial matters. يُؤِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً أَوْ أَن تَرَاضِ مِنْهُ. You can only take another person's wealth by mutual trade, willing buyer, willing seller, or by mutual agreement or happiness and satisfaction. You can't take another person's wealth by deceit, by usurping it, by lies, or any other particular method which is not permitted. It is haram. Don't take your other people's wealth in a false manner. And especially if there are vulnerable people in society. Ya Allah, why did Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَى إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. You take the wealth of an orphan, you are putting fire into your stomach. Easy. Well, your team offered no one to look after him. I can take advantage. Be careful about taking the wealth of people who are vulnerable. Your sisters, your daughters, you don't give them inheritance just because they are shy or they don't make mention of it. Allah will hold you to account. وَلَا تَعْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Don't take the wealth of other people in a just, unjust manner. And especially today we find that people are taking public money in an unjust manner. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu one day saw Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu running. At the time of Qailula when people were resting. Ali said, where are you going, Umar, this time of in the afternoon? He said, one of the camels of Baytul Mal has got lost. I'm going to look for it. So much concern for public money. Here people are taking public money and devouring it. Ya Allah, what's going on? What is our situation? Have a balance. While all of these are, I'm just giving you some certain pointers. Time is short. I don't know whether I will get a chance. I will take a few minutes more. Have a balance with regard to your, you know, even while you, I may mention of the importance of we want good in this world. We want Allah must give us barakah. So Allah give us barakah, we can use it correctly. But always bear in mind there is a balance. Alumu ila rabbikum. Oh people, turn towards Almighty Allah. فَإِنَّ مَا قَلَّ وَكَفَى خَيْرٌ مِمَّا كَثُرَ وَلَهَا. What is little but suffices from you is better than more that diverts you away from Allah. We want wealth, but not at the expense of taking you away from Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. So these are very important. Our peer Sahaba used to use wealth as a means and business, as a means of earning Allah's pleasure. رَحِمَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا إِذَا بَعَ السَّمَا وَإِنِ اشْتَرَى وَإِنِ اكْتَرَى. We all want Allah Ta'ala's blessing. Have you ever heard this? Allah's blessings upon a businessman who is lenient and kind when he buys, when he sells, when he demands. Allah Ta'ala showed you how to get Allah Ta'ala's rahmat. When you look at the history, Muslim businessmen were one of the most important ways of propagating Islam. Go and look at the history of Indonesia. Go and look at the history of West Africa. West Africa, Indonesia was not conquered or was not taken over by Muslim armies. They became Muslim by the conduct, honesty, integrity of the Muslim businessman. The Muslim trader. Muslim traders are the forefront in dealing with people of other faiths. If you are going to be honest and you are upright, you are going to show the beauty of Islamic teaching, which emphasizes honesty and integrity. Let me conclude with the example of Abdurrahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala. You know, recently there was a study carried out about the wealth of Abdurrahman ibn Awf. He left a certain degree of wealth, gold. They took that gold recently and they counted and said, how much did he leave behind? And they did an estimation of it. It was $606 billion. Abdurrahman ibn Awf left a legacy of $606 billion. They say six times more than the wealthiest person today alive. But you know who he was? Abdurrahman bin Jannah. Abdurrahman is in Jannah. One day Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he was telling, speaking about the Sahaba, and he said, إِنَّ عَارِفُ رَجُلًا إِسْمُهُ أَبِي لَا يَأْتِي بَابًا مِنْ أَبْوَابِ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا. I know the name of a person. He will come towards Jannah. And the Jannah will say, come towards me, come towards me. And then the Sahaba said, who is this person, Ya Rasulullah? He said, Abu Bakr. Then Nabi Sallallahu said, Abdurrahman, I waited for you in Jannah. I felt maybe you failed. You came crawling into Jannah. That amount of wealth, you came crawling because you had to give account. And let me just conclude with one more incident. One day, there was so much wealth of Abdurrahman that came in a convoy. It was a businessman. So there was camels and camels coming to meet to Medina. And everyone came to see what is happening. The wealth of Abdurrahman is coming into Medina and Munawwara. And everyone was excited. And that excitement reached Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Aisha said, what's happening? The wealth of Abdurrahman is coming into Medina. And people are seeing because there's such a long convoy. And Hazrat Aisha said, I heard Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying, Abdurrahman will go crawling into Jannah. Abdurrahman heard, he came to Aisha, oh Umm al-Mu'mineen, did you hear this from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Yes. What is the way for me to make it easy for me to go Jannah? Give charity. Oh Aisha, this whole convoy, the entire Medina is, you know, excited about. I give it everything in the path of Allah.
Amen.
Brothers, this is a Muslim businessman. I just give you the example of the importance of financial matters. the importance of trade, and this is something that we all need to have. And some pointers with regard to financial matters, may Allah give us a tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.